Ever wonder if there's more to the movies you love? Do you like to ponder how they got from A to Z? Who chose the plot twists? Why use those characters? Is there a deeper meaning? We're here to explore those questions and maybe learn a bit along the way. VGB Studios proudly presents The Filmlosophers.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Filmlosophers, the show that gets into the movies you love and digs a little deeper. I am not your host, Eddie Villanueva. As you can hear, I am the I'm not even magnanimous. I'm intern
You're magnanimous.
A. I'm not magnanimous. And of course, as you can tell, that beautiful, wonderful, ineffable voice comes from the one, the only, letting me drive today, God help us all, Spencer Williams.
It's going to go well. There's going to be no problems.
No problems. No one's going to hear that this is a problem, ever.
Nope.
We're doing amazing.
Of course. And then, as you can hear over there, this is your third time joining us today?
Yep, third time.
Introducing, of course, the wonderful, the OG, not a prequel, never a sequel, Sarah, Junior Filmlosopher.
Yeah.
Hello there.
Yay. I didn't break everything. Good Lord, help us all. So before I try to do anything else and get sidetracked, Spencer, do you want to give them opening credits?
Heck yeah. Tune in each and every Wednesday morning on all your favorite streaming platforms and over on our website at filmlosophers.com. Also, connect with us on the social pages at facebook.com/filmlosophers and on Twitter and Instagram at filmlosophy101.
That's right. We have over 300, wink, wink, episodes. I swear they're all there.
Yep.
You can look. They're all there.
Yep. Don't count them.
Don't count them.
Don't look behind the curtain.
Nope. The wizard is safely ensconced. But check us out. You can find us on all your favorite streaming platforms. Pandora, iTunes, Google Play, Libsyn, Audio.
Boom.
Boom. Audio boom. Boom. All that jam. Tune in and, you know, give us a 5-star review or just tell us that I didn't break everything today.
You didn't break it.
Not
that's
yet.
Me telling you.
Yeah, okay. Okay, that's the checklist on the first box. But stick around for our episode today because we are going to be talking about 2022's third installment into the Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them franchise, Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore. All right. But before we get into that, because you're allowing me to drive, and I am, good Lord, help us all if I'm going to try the best that I can. And Filmosopher Eddie said it could. We're going to do a wee bit episode of Jane Unseen.
Yes, wee episode.
Wee episode of Jane Unseen. So, of course, if you are new to the podcast, Jane Unseen, I have been trying to catch up on things that people have seen, and this movie is almost 20 years old, as Spencer pointed out, and I just saw it yesterday. So, I am, of course, talking about, how was it, 20,000?
Nope.
2003! It's a 20! 2003's Kill Bill Volume 1, directed by Quentin Tarantino. So, this movie, of course, it was written and directed by Quentin Tarantino. Cast includes Uma Thurman, Lucy Liu, Michael Madsen, Daryl Hannah, Vivica A. Fox, and David, I'm never going to pronounce your last name, Spencer, help.
Cara Dean.
Yay, I didn't do it all. But so, this was my third movie that I've seen from Mr. Tarantino, and let's just say I felt not wholly unprepared, but a bit unprepared, because I haven't seen a lot of martial arts movies, especially in the 70s genre. And finding out that this was an homage to 70s martial arts made me feel like I probably wasn't appreciating it as I needed to. So, with that being said, I had a couple things I didn't like. Mostly the fact that in Pulp Fiction, when I finally did get around to see that last year, or 2 years ago, I don't know, this pandemic.
Time, it's really hard during
time. It's wibbly wobbly.
Yeah.
Timey-wimey. Mm-hmm.
Good job, Filmlosophers Junior. You're welcome. So, yeah, Quentin's voice, after seeing him in Pulp Fiction, he started speaking and he was inserting himself into his universe. I had difficulty kind of separating the two. And then in this, Vivica, when we first meet her, she's saying words, she's speaking because she says words, you know, she's an actor.
Yes.
Gosh, I really like Vivica A. Fox too, that's a problem. She sounded like Quentin Tarantino, like she was wearing a Quentin Tarantino kind of like costume. Mm-hmm. It's Vivica's costume, but it's Quentin Tarantino's voice. You know
what? Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Okay. And so that was really frustrating to me, and it was a little off-putting. Everybody else was fine, but that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And then, of course, as I stated, I haven't seen enough martial arts to really appreciate this movie the way I need to. So the goal is I will see some 70s martial arts movies, most likely Bruce Lee, because there were episodes I was not on that you guys covered all of them.
Yes, we did. And he's amazing.
And he's amazing from what I hear. So, yeah, I'm going to do that before Volume 2. But is Volume 2, like, more or less like Volume 1?
Volume 2 is very, like, it feels a lot different. It hits different than Volume 1 does.
Like in the good way or in the scary way?
In the scary way. Oh. So you're saying, wait, what? No, you'll have to find out.
Oh, so tune in to when I panic and freak out about that because I did it wrong. But yes, so that wraps up this Jane Unseen super little quick bit tidbit. Of course, you can find Jane Unseen on Instagram, and hopefully I will get all of my snippets up to throw up there. We'll give you the handle at the end of the episode. And of course, Spencer's Big Score should be living on the Filmlosopher's Instagram sometime soon.
Yep.
So with that being said, let's go ahead and dive in to the magical world, as it were, of tonight's topic, Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore. Secret, 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 secret. Oh, no. So before we really, like, throw at it, Spencer, you want to give them sweet synopsis goodness.
Professor Albus Dumbledore knows the powerful dark wizard Geralt Grindelwald is moving to seize control of the wizarding world. Unable to stop him alone, he entrusts a magi-zoologist, Newt Scamander, to lead an intrepid team of wizards, witches, and one brave muggle baker on a dangerous mission, where they encounter old and new beasts and clash with Grindelwald's growing legion of followers. But with the stakes so high, how long can Dumbledore remain on the sidelines?
That's right. You getting so good at that magic magizoologist.
It's a hard word for a word that doesn't exist.
And he's the only apparent one in like the entire magical world.
Okay, this movie actually has a lot of questions about things that the movie doesn't really want to talk about. It's very odd. Yeah.
Yes, but it's directed by David Yates from a screenplay by J.K. Rowling and Stephen, I'm going to pronounce your name, we're going with Cloves, I don't know. The film stars Eddie Redmayne, Jude Law, Ezra Miller, Dan Fogler, Allison Suttle, Callum Turner, Jessica Williams, Catherine Waterston, and Mads Mikkelsen. Steve Coles, I'm pronouncing your name super wrong now, Cloves, the original screenwriter of all the Harry Potter movies, but Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix in 2007, makes his return to the writer's seat after 10 years. Dang, Junior Filmosopher must have been like super teeny back then for that one. He was brought on to help J.K. Rowling's, and the film was pushed back a year after the mixed critical reception of the previous film and to give J.K. more time to fine-tune the script. And if you didn't notice, between the second movie and the third movie, there was a very drastic character shift by a very prominent actor. So yeah, Johnny Depp, of course, who played Geralt Grindelwald in the second film, filmed one scene before he was asked to depart. And according to various media sources, because of his pay or play contract, he will receive his full $16 million salary.
You know, I think I would like to see that one scene just so I could have a side by side.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I think if it's the tea scene right at the beginning.
Yeah, because, like, actually, when I saw that scene, I know we're already going to, but, like, I was like, I can't imagine what this would have been like with Johnny Depp in it. That seems like a completely different movie.
I 100% agree with you. I want to see that because that would just be delicious.
Yeah.
Well, as you can tell already, we are going to be having a spoiler-filled review. So if you need to pause it here, that way you can go partake of this magical goodness or not goodness, come back to commiserate or celebrate with us, feel free to do so. But I'm just saying, you have been warned. All right, so first impressions. This is before you got to the theater, and we're kind of coupling it as well. Oh, not impressions, expectations. Mm-hmm. Impressions are afterwards. Expectations are first, yes. Can we not put that on my checklist? Let's not put that on my checklist. Junior philosopher Sarah, what were you expecting going into the theater?
So my first expectations going into the theater were getting more information about Credence, mm-hmm. and kind of backstory for him, and then with the whole situation that was covered in Crimes of Grindelwald, the second movie, of Dumbledore and Grindelwald's relationship, mm-hmm. and having a blood pact and not being able to attack each other. I really kind of wanted some background and information on how that came to be, and kind of a little bit of their past together. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's all I had to say. For now.
For now. Spencer, what about you?
Hashtag justice for Queenie. Hashtag? That's what we are here for.
Yes, I will raise a glass to Queenie.
Because, like, I did not understand fully. Like, initially, I got where she was mm-hmm. coming from in the second movie. But as the second movie went on, I was like, no, I'm lost. I don't understand why you're making the decisions you're making. And then just more of the delightful Jacob. Because he's kind of became my favorite character in these movies.
I think he's everybody's favorite character at this junction. I am going to 100% hashtag Team Queenie. Hashtag because hashtags and pound signs, whatever. Hashtag Queenie Kowalski needed to happen. I'm kind of in the same boat. I don't remember much of the second one. First one, remember fine.
Oh, yeah.
I think my expectations were more magical creatures. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see what was happening with Queenie Kowalski because I want them babies.
Yes.
Yes, they need them babies. They're perfect. And then, really, I didn't know how many secrets Dumbledore had. I didn't know if I wanted to know all the secrets. And I didn't know if we were going to get a list or was going to be one of those nice glossing overs of, I'm a bad man, but I might be a good man, but I'm a bad man type of jam. But yeah, I was hoping for maybe something a little more meatier than where they left us in the second one.
Mm.
But that's me. And then, of course, because now impressions are for afterwards.
Yes, they are.
Spencer, you want to hit on that?
All right, so let's rewind to like 1 hour after the movie has started.
Only an hour?
So an hour into the movie, I'm just sitting there looking at the screen. I'm like, wait, what's happening? I don't know if I'm following, like, because like I don't feel like I get the whole what they're trying to do in this movie. And so fast forward to the end of this, and I'm like, yeah, no, I still don't get it. Like, it seems crazy, and I don't understand how that... I don't know. So yeah, first impressions were confusion, to be really honest.
Not in the best way, just confused.
Yes.
Just confused. What about you, Sarah?
A bit of the same. After exiting the theater, I was like, okay. What? Like there was
okay.
What? There was questions I had going in that were answered, and there was a little bit more that was filled in, like, for spaces I kind of didn't think of, mm-hmm. but then there was a whole bunch of, like, we're going to switch over to this character and this story, and purposely, like, I know in the movie, Dumbledore's like, we gotta throw them off, but you're, as the viewer, you're throwing off, as the writer and producer of it, you're throwing off the viewers and kind of... You never want your viewer to kind of space out and go, huh? What? Yeah. Or wake up in the theater asleep and no one's there.
Did you do that?
We don't tell the raccoons what happened.
Well, there's raccoons, apparently, magical or otherwise. I would actually kind of have to say I had first impressions. It was a bit of a, huh, so we can finish the series now, right? Like, that was... Like, if
wasn't it supposed to only be three movies initially, and then
they turned it to five, right? Yes. And I'm like, this felt like, as confusing as it was, we can chop it right there, end of the line, boop, boop. And I think after that I was just like, so there's no mid-credit or end-credit sequence, right? Do I have to stay around for that?
Oh, I didn't even bother. I was like, yeah, whatever.
I stayed. I waited. I was like, end cred scene, post cred scene, the little snippet of like Teddy just coming out and be like, I got some more swag, guys.
Teddy the Niffler.
Oh, precious peanut.
Precious, precious peanut. Speaking of precious, precious peanuts, how about we talk about some of the actors in this? Of course, we have Eddie Redmayne coming back as the, now I guess he's not the titular character because it's Albus Dumbledore, so it's Jude Law.
This is such a weird series.
Right?
His movies got hijacked by Albus Dumbledore. What's going on?
Move out the way. It's Dumbledore time.
I know. Like, that's the thing about, like, watching the first movie. I never in my wildest dreams thought we were going in this direction.
Nope.
I thought, like, oh, yeah, cameo of, like, Hogwarts and stuff, clearly.
Yeah. I mean, I could totally track with, like, oh, we're finding more magical creatures. We're exploring the wilds. Like, the first movie felt like an exploration of magic zoologists who don't exist, mm-hmm. but do, mm-hmm. and he's the leading guy. And the second one, there were still more critters. Congratulations, critters. This one...
R.I.P. critters.
Lacked critters. It lacked critters, and I don't know if that says anything about my acting or their acting for me to be upset about this.
It's called Fantastic Beasts!
Where are our beasts?
You have to have more than one.
Or two. Or like the two repeaters and the yeah, other
like,
one.
No, everyone gets one count. You count once. So like this one gets one. The two. What was the other one besides the chili?
The little critters in the
The jail ones.
For their acting, for all imaginary critters, they acted beautifully. I am going to give them a gold star and a thumbs up for their acting. Eddie Redmayne, I love him, but I felt his screen time was super cut. Like,
yeah, it felt like he was barely in this movie. Right? Kind of like Tina, who actually was barely in this movie.
Yeah.
She just showed up at the end.
She's like, oh, hey. And I'm like, oh, hey.
You're like, who are you again?
I'm like, I'm not meaning to sync up with you. Sorry.
It's okay. It happens from time to time. Yeah. That's how I was feeling about Eddie Redmayne. Does anybody have anybody they like?
I just want to say, I miss that blue coat that he was wearing in that first
movie. Oh, nice.
I've never had such strong opinions about a coat. But I'm like, I miss it.
Come back to us.
Coat.
Come back, coat. Axial coat. yeah, the who I really liked, I'm going to, two people. Mm-hmm. Dan Fogler as Jacob.
Yeah.
Always a delight. He is like just crushing it as Jacob, like constantly. Mm-hmm. Especially in the opening when he thought he was talking to Queenie and no one was there. I was like, are you going to give him cry within the first 10 minutes? Who are you, Pixar? This isn't up.
They were trying. He did justice.
Yeah, he did a good job. Second person, Mads Mikkelsen. Yeah. Like, he pivoted like the role into where it needed to go,
mm-hmm.
because I cannot imagine Johnny Depp doing anything he did in this movie.
That I 100% agree with you on that. I have no idea what that attraction would have been.
That like they were like originally they were just going to ignore that part. Because of the way Johnny Depp was playing it. Because they're going to be like, oh, I guess they're just going the friends route.
Childhood friends.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, I was just, this makes much more sense to me than what Johnny Depp was doing.
Yes, I can agree. What about you, Sarah? Do you have anybody you want to give some mad props and shout outs to?
Besides Mad Mikkelsen, Jessica Williams as Professor Hicks. She did an amazing job as a character that wasn't being introduced,
mm-hmm.
and I absolutely adored every scene that was with her, Dan Fogler being the amazing cinnamon roll he is, and then Eddie Redmayne, because it never really drops a beat on his acting performance and the care he takes for playing Newt Scamander as a Hufflepuff. Mm. So yeah.
Oh, your Hufflepuff pride showing, huh?
Yeah.
So should we establish you're the Hufflepuff at the table, Spencer?
We're getting into a very long rant about Pottermore for me. But originally, I am a Slytherin. Second test says I'm a Gryffindor. I want to retest. I think I will.
I approve of you retesting because originally testing, I was a Ravenclaw. Went to therapy. Surprise, I'm a Gryffindor.
That lion.
Rawr. Rawr. I'm a Gryffindor. Rawr, rawr. So we've got the caring, considerate, honesty at one end. I'm not going to say you're cold and logical, but I'm so proud of you to be like, no, this is how we're doing it. We're fixing it perfectly. And me just being random. Other one, yes, Lolly, Professor Hicks, was so delightful. I loved her accent. She carried such great presence. She was consistent and just straight up like great. And then I really want to give props and shout outs, which I need to find what her name was. The lovely lady that was Bunty, who was his assistant from the second movie.
Victoria.
She was in the second movie?
Yeah, she was. She was in the second movie. So, in cover, oh, it gets better. No. Victoria Yates. It looks like Yeats, but it's Yates. So, Victoria, I love you. Legitimately, I had to go back and watch the second one because I was like, where did this assistant come from?
I thought she came from nowhere. I was like, this assistant who's so important, this being her first movie.
No, she was there. The Kelpie apparently tried to bite off her finger and this whole thing. And so she's like truly, madly, deeply in love with Newt. But in this, she is like, she's the linchpin. You don't think she's a linchpin. And she's like, I got things to do. Ha ha. I'm over here.
See you later.
And just to clarify, to make sure I'm not crazy, she was not in the first one.
She was not in the first one.
Okay, perfect.
No, she was not in the first one.
Anything associated with that second one just got deleted.
I mean, we literally went Johnny Depp threw a chupacabra out of a moving flying carriage, which enraged a lot of Hufflepuffs, I know.
Not good to go on a rant. I bought that Funko Pop with my own money. And I was like, I'm going to start collecting all the magical creatures because I'm going through the books. I'm going to have a deep appreciation for them. And literally, I sat there and I was like, oh, yeah, there he is. There's a And I honestly started crying there because I'm like, I carried that Funko Pop to school the next day, still sobbing. And I don't know if I'm allowed to disclose this. I'm BFFs with the other filmosopher, and he saw the movie prior to me.
Wait,
and
the filmosopher Eddie or the junior filmosopher?
Junior filmosopher. Sorry, okay. Specification.
Logan. Oh, the Batman Logan man.
Yeah, the Logan. And he started laughing. He's like, haha, you got attached. And I'm like, buddy. Buddy. But I will not throw shade at my friend because I honor and respect him, even though there are some things I could be like, I could use this, but no.
So R.I.P. Magical Critters.
Antonio.
Yeah, so there was so much. Literally, there was that. There was the magic circus with the critters that we kind of saw that, like, Ezra Miller, I know your name was Credence in this.
Oh, right, yes.
Yeah, we just...
Yeah, with Nagini, who was a person, apparently.
I don't even remember what happened to her at the end of the movie.
No, I don't
know. Yeah, she doesn't pop up in the third one, and I'm like,
some way she made it to Mr. Voldemort.
She's on her
way there. Mr. Riddle. Riddle me this.
But even...
I'm so sorry.
No, it was great. Keep it up. Yeah, I think the performances that were kind of lacking in this, especially from like the main characters, no offense, Ezra Miller, you were in a mess of trouble.
You were in trouble, buddy.
He was giving off like strong Snape vibes, like trying to be Alan Rickman, but angry. And that made me like him less.
Okay, for me, in full honesty, I love and adore Snape. And seeing all the movies and going through the books, I'm like, I have an appreciation for Snape. I'm like, okay, from first movie and like first to three, I'm like, okay, he's giving off the, I might hurt you, but I'm not going to like full on like come into your room and then stab you. Ezra Miller playing Credence, standing in his room, looking at the mirror and being like, let me trace stuff. He fully gave off the vibe. Sorry, I had...
No, don't apologize. Keep going.
Yeah, he fully gave off the vibes that he would be the type of person I would run into at, like, any social gathering, and he would come up and be like, so I hear you're into this type of stuff. And then he would get too close to you and start violating you. Like,
No.
That's the
your personal bubble.
Yeah.
Violating your personal bubble, not violating you. That's
Redact. Getting too close. Boom.
Gets too close. Personal space. Gotcha. Okay. Oof.
So sorry. Oof.
Oh, the loss of variety is going to kill me.
Yeah. Hurt us.
No. So, yeah. He was one of my problem people. Mm-hmm. And then... I'm torn about Jude Law in this. Like, I appreciate Dumbledore, but I don't know how to feel about this. Like, I like Jude Law in The Holiday. I know that's I was watching Captain Marvel earlier and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot he's in this.
Oh, yeah, he is in that.
But I don't know how to feel about his Dumbledore. What do you guys think?
See, here's the thing. Even before he took over, like, I was like, what would a young Dumbledore even look like? Because that's, like, a hard thing for me to even, like... I'm so used to old man Dumbledore.
Exactly!
That I'm like, what is this person going to be like? Because he shouldn't be, like, the fully completed guy that we know from the Harry Potter books. He should be, you know, like, you know, an incomplete guy who messes up maybe slightly, but I don't know. Like, I have a hard time, I guess, with... Dumbledore's characterization in this movie, because there's certain things that he does, mm-hmm. where I guess it was because of his sister's death. I'm still working through it, I just want to zoom out. I'll talk about those Dumbledore brothers,
Aberforth.
So based on what happened in the books, I did not imagine them to be as close as they are portrayed in this movie. The fact they were having dinner together, I was like, whoa, wait.
And it's like a constant thing.
Yeah, like, I kind of got the impression that they kind of just didn't really talk.
Yeah, same. Exactly.
Yeah, and so, like, in this movie, like, they are constantly talking to mm-hmm. each other. And, like, yeah, they have a tense relationship, but I'm like, even this is better than I ever believed it to be. So I was like, there's like a lot of things in this movie like that where they'll touch on something from Harry Potter and they'll just be warped in a way I never expected. Because like the way Aberforth talks about him in the books, I'm like, I wouldn't
ever.
But again, like, you still got like decades of time from this point, so it could have just been a downhill trajectory from here.
Well, and I think that brings up questions about the story.
Yeah.
Because if we're looking at this, where even from the main movie franchise, the relationship between Dumbledore and Aberforth is like non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know nothing. And then you're like, surprise, he's my brother. And we're like, oh shoot, what?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I got you. And here it's like, they're angry at each other, but they're still friends.
They're still communicating.
Yeah. And I don't know if that supports the story or it detracts from the story. What do you think, Sarah?
I personally think, well, to kind of not riff off, but I agree on the whole, like, after watching all the movies, and I'm still, like I said, going through the books, I really did not see, like, not made sense of, but, like, if we're going to be leading up to a more strong disagreement with Aberforth and Albus and leading it to them having no communications, which we see in the movies. But regarding Dumbledore and how Jude Law is playing him, he isn't real. Oh, sorry. Ah. I'll say it later because it's kind of just an opinion.
You can have opinions. This
oh no,
part I'm, of the podcast.
Yeah, that's almost the main point of the point podcast.
Talking opinions, you have them.
I was kind of just not to go. I needed like not the okay. No, I'm stumbling on my words. I'm so sorry.
Would you like just to come back to you on that
yes,
one?
Yes, yes, please. Because I'm blanking on an actor's name.
You can say their name, their character name too.
But there's two different actors who played Dumbledore, Michael and Richard.
Yeah, it's Richard Kind.
Richard was first. Richard was first. Yes, and then Michael was second.
But kind of like. Like, not to go that Jude Law should play this wise old sage, but kind of how Richard carried himself, mm-hmm. and that sweetness, like, we're seeing a little bit of that with Jude Law's young Dumbledore, but I kind of want to see a little bit more of, like, we were seeing it in the second movie with his Defense Against the Dark Arts class, which I love the class, but just kind of a little bit of that and caring about his students, because, but that's all I have to say. Sorry for stumbling on the words.
No, don't apologize. Yeah, I can agree with you on that. It's both where we're kind of butting heads, I think, at this point, because, like you stated earlier, Spencer, this is the Fantastic Beasts franchise has been usurped by Dumbledore, and this is the Dumbledore show.
This is my story now.
Get out the way.
Get these beasts out of here.
And that is the most confusing part, I think, for me, is that this story is all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, not even where we're like, hey, we're going to go fight Grindelwald, you guys, and we're going to be, like, super confused about it ourselves. And I'm like, okay, that's good. I'm tracking you on confusion. I'm confused, too. We're in a good boat. And then it's like, but let's talk about mistakes. And let's talk about Dumbledore. And let's talk about this. And you're like,
okay.
Huh?
Couldn't we do a spinoff?
Or wait, like, this is the spinoff.
I know, it is a spinoff.
Sarah, like, this is the spinoff.
The spinoff of the spinoff. No. But that would be more confusing.
No, that would be too confusing. No. Two separate movie franchises in the same time period people crossing.
J.K. Rowling still wants to make money, so she might consider it.
Yeah, no, considering the entire shenanigans, and I'm saying shenanigans is the politest way to say it because I have colorful words to use, and the author and this franchise and what has been going, the franchise is at this point now, mm-hmm. because even though it's a big Wizarding World, she's like cherry picking things through it and saying hot trash and
pandering.
Anyway, this feels like the story was totally usurped, and I don't know if Steve coming in to assist JK made it better or worse. What do you think, Spence?
Like, I don't see how this could be a worse form of itself. Like,
I do. It doesn't end in a wedding.
Oh, yeah. Like, she's still with Grindelwald. Oh, okay, that's the worst version of this
movie. That is the worst version.
Yeah. I don't know what she did with all the extra time, because I feel like what the story really needed was, like, more logical follow-through of the illogical path through the movie.
Yes.
Because, like, that is really the part where I get stumped. Because what's happening is that Grindelwald apparently can see into the future slightly. Question mark. This has never been mentioned, I don't believe so, in any of the books. Uh-uh. So they're like, okay, so in order to confuse him, we have to move in a confusing pattern. And so people end up doing things, and I'm like, why are we doing this? Well, it's to be confusing. But then you're confused about what they're even trying to do. Like, there's this one part where people think Jacob, because it has a wand at this point.
Good job, Jacob. We appreciate the wand.
Yeah. Is an assassin, but, like, they know he's a muggle, and so...
Yep.
What? How both? It's one or the other. You're either magical or you're not.
Unless you've been enchanted or bewitched to perform shenanigan things.
I mean,
but that was in the books. Like, that's a hard so first off, that's a hard pull. But, like, legitimately, they know he's a muggle, and he's there, and he's got snake wood, and, like, him Jacob with a wand is just adorable. Like, that will be a highlight for forever. But he has the little old lady that meets him the first time he goes into the German Ministry of Magic, and she's like, that's an interesting man, I'm gonna go talk to him. And I'm like, what is this woman doing?
It was hilarious, because, like, it just seemed like this person just walked into the movie. It's like, oh, what's going on here?
Exactly. Like, there was no explanation of what was going on. And she's just like, hello. And then the next time we see her, it's at the dinner where Jacob is accused of being an assassin by the guy sitting next to her. And I'm just like, where was that train going? Like, why did we even introduce her? Like, what's going on? And I really, I don't think that year was long enough to correct whatever was initially trying to go on.
Yeah.
Like, I can't think of, there are so many clashing juxtapositions in this, where we've got the first one, which is Fantastic Beasts. Just, you literally said it. We're confusing Grindelwald's and confusing ourselves. And when Jacob says on the train, he's like, I'm confused myself. I was like, yes, you are us. Thank you. And then we've simultaneously got like Dumbledore doing whatever the heck Dumbledore is doing.
Well, he's doing nothing.
Yeah, he's just like, I'm probably sure there's a cut scene or deleted scene where he's just sitting at a cafe stirring a cup of coffee and just watching. He's just like, there could be so many things where he's just lounging about and we wouldn't know. We'd be like, oh, he's doing a hard work. No, he's just sitting at a Starbucks, old Starbucks, just going, yes.
Oh, an old English Starbucks? Is yes. it just called an old English? The English Starbucks in like the 1940s in England. I'm so sorry. The oldie Starbucks.
Okay, so yeah, I guess he's supposed to be teaching or whatever, but like,
we don't even see him really teach this one, do we?
No, we see him at the school just hanging out because that's what Hogwarts is, just hang out. Classes are optional or whatever. But yeah, I don't really know. Like, I feel like this kind of leads into the whole thing of like, where I believe this came in the books, where like Dumbledore was being accused of being manipulative of people.
Yep.
And I feel like this is kind of one of those things that lead into this where he's like, oh yeah, all you people do this.
Exactly. Yeah. Like that, I think we can smoothly transition into highlights and issues here because this kind of coalesces. It kind of meshes in with the story issue. I had always felt after, like, we get towards the end, yes, when we, like, at the beginning, Dumbledore is wise, magnanimous, wonderful, he's great, yay, he's our leader. And then slowly you're like, you're making people do a lot of stuff for you, and you're just like, I'm good, my hands are clean. And this felt like that in spades. Like, not even the, like, he doesn't even hide it. It's like, he's manipulating, and then he's like, oh, but you're my friend, but I'm still manipulating.
You were my student. You would do this for your old teacher,
your old
wouldn't
professor.
You?
Yeah, and that was the thing that I think was most disturbing for me was at the end when Newt said, if you ask me again, I do it. And I'm like, I don't know if that's a red flag, sir, but you almost got killed multiple times and you did the sexy swivel dance to get your brother out of like the gulag with all the little crispy, like little, I don't even know what they were.
Spider scorpion craps.
Yeah, okay, we'll go with that.
Kind of most accurate.
But he put himself in harm's way for Dumbledore, and there was no other payoff for Newt the entire movie.
Yeah.
Like, even the second one, he's collecting, saving, and nurturing and releasing back into the wild all the other creatures. And in this
one, he's also in trouble with the Ministry of Magic, because that was another thing that I was about to bring up, is that the Ministry of Magic came in with Theseus and Leela Lestrange, and they put him under, in the second one, they put him under arrest, but we don't know if that, I forget if the arrest got resolved in some way at the end, or if they came back and like, oh yeah, you're good, we know you're so, like, you and Grindelwald, like, something with that. But I'm just like, because Mr. Spencer, like you and Mr. Spencer were saying, there wasn't him teaching again. He's just like, yep, I'm lodging about, hello, yeah, do this for me, please.
Yeah, I mean,
suspicious.
Like, okay, the only way I'd be okay with this is if this comes up later as like, hey, you're being manipulated because you've done these things throughout like the next two movies, and then I'd be like, okay, I'd be a bit more into that. But I don't think that they're going to, as part of the problem.
Well, and then do we even want to have two more Fantastic Beast movies that are Dumbledore the Manipulator? Like, stage name, hashtag Albus. Albus Brian. Like, he's like triple name, Albus Brian, whatever, whatever.
Percy's in there somewhere.
Percival is in there somewhere, too. It's like, I think that they're trying to pigeonhole a Dumbledore story instead of exploring the world more openly and honestly.
Yeah.
And it's creating issues with the subsequent films.
Because, to be perfectly honest, I thought we were going to mostly be with Newt in America while yes. he is doing something with Beast. Like, I thought, like, maybe there'd be, like, whatever magical poachers are, or, like, and someone's trying to get, like, this really rare one, and so, like, you know, he's trying to stop them or something like that.
Yeah, I would watch that. Yeah. But, and I don't know if it's the writers or J.K. Rowling trying to fill in the gaps of, we want, yeah,
it's, JK. It's definitely.
There wasn't an option, it was J.K.
The
Joanna, we see you.
We are watching. But if it's her trying to fill in the holes of us wanting a little bit more taste of history, if you want to do that, then kind of like not write another like small book, but don't push into, we're going to make a Fantastic Beasts movie. And going the route of, okay, well, we know there's this whole thing with Grindelwald going around the same time period. Let's learn. We already have the game that's coming out that's going to be covering
Hogwarts Legacy, right?
Yep, that's going to be covering the rebellion and mm-hmm. the thing between the, was it the elves or goblins?
It was the house elves.
The rebellion, yeah.
Yeah, the house elf rebellion.
That was brought up in book three. Yeah.
Which we don't ever talk about.
Book three and
bring on Spew. Yeah. Bring on Spew.
We love Spew. A Spew.
And
a
Spew.
Spew. But yeah, if you want to do that, then you do it in a way where it's not pushing away the opportunity for to expound on a person we don't really know a lot about. Mm. Yeah. And because there are people who, like myself, want to know more about Newt Scamander, mm-hmm. and not just that he's an author, that Albus is like, read his book. Yeah.
Oh, good.
But that's just my opinion on it, because I love characters and stories, but purpose and meaning, and not going, we're going to just pop the other way and, yep, that's where we're going. Doesn't make sense. You need more explaining, and not to toss away your protagonist.
Very well said.
Speaking of issues.
Yes.
I want to go back towards the end of this movie, because there is an election happening.
Yeah.
But I don't know what this is for. Some position of, oh, you're the ruler of the magical world. And I'm like, this is not, like, at first I thought it was Ministry of Magic, but nope, mm-mm. it's something else. And I'm like, but we've never really talked about what this something else is. So what is it? How does it stack with everything? Because, like, things start happening where, like, you know, Grindelwald is a criminal, but then Germany is like, oh, no, he's been, no, those crimes don't count, or whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, wait, the movie doesn't want to talk about how all of these organizations are situated,
exactly.
which has, like, a real small undercurrent of confusion there, too. Because, like, the main plot is getting this, like, magical Bambi deer
chillin'.
To, like, chillin'. The election. But, like, I don't know what the heck this is for. Exactly. Because we've never talked about this.
Well, and the thing I think what was established in the books was the Ministry of Magic, which we didn't even know it pertains to each of the particular countries, is, like, their little own government within themselves. Okay, cool, cool. Mm. But then we're like the Confederation of Magical Whatever. And I'm like, so this is like the Supreme Being? Is this like the United Nations? And this is our head United Nations guy? Nobody knows. And we're just like, we're electing somebody. And we're electing somebody. Okay. Magical deer, do your thing. Which also chillin' as a name is... I kept thinking.
I keep wanting to say Chilean.
I was thinking snacks. Like, to be honest, like a chill. I kept thinking. The only reason I remember was chillin', because I thought of chili problems. Anyway, yeah, I agree with you on that. Nobody knows. We're like, okay, there's an election, and the way that it seemed, and mind you, I went and saw this twice because I was so confused.
I almost thought I should see it a second time to see if it made more sense.
It did a little bit, but mm-hmm. it was not like, ooh, second watching, yeah. It was, oh, I needed to see this just to get a better handle on things. And, like, that because Anton Vogel, who is, or is Anthony Vogel, the guy's name's Vogel, he's the minister of the German mm-hmm. Ministry of Magic, but he's also the head guy of the Confederation of Magical Peeps or whatever.
How's he running two sides?
I have no idea.
Because also, so we also had the candidates, yeah, candidates who were running, and I'm like, okay, so they're coming from this area.
Santos and Lou, yeah.
Which I have
the one that's an issue. Bring it up because I'm gonna bring it up if you don't bring it up.
So there was a lot of people and a lot of speculation of going, yay, we have representation of an Asian wizard, and I'm like, oh cool.
More than one, hopefully.
Yeah, we're having better than Cho Chang. Like, I love Cho Chang, but dang, J.K. Rowling, you had to do us dirty like that and be like, no, she has to fall in love with Harry and be pushed away. I hate you, J.K. Rowling. I do. You are not giving me the ounce
justified. Of... Justified. All of this is justified.
As a person of color, you're not giving me kind of the leeway room of being like, okay, yeah. Like, the closest I have to, like, connecting to a female character, because she is a minority, is... Nymphadora Tonks. Yeah. And she's the closest thing I have to being like, okay, you're good. Sort of. Gotcha. But you can't pull the this is going back to the conversation we had for the new Scream. You can't pull the representation card and be like, yep, bingo, let's go. You can't do that with this and be like, yep, we're good. And now we have Santos, who's head person. Yeah, representation. Let's go. And I'm like...
Well, and the thing that I brought up was that Lu or Lau, the person that's running against Santos, mm-hmm. he's an Asian wizard, but he's like the only Asian wizard I've ever seen. Like, besides, yes, Cho Chang, but that's years and years and years later down the line. And they made it seem like, oh, he's going to be in the movie more. We're going to get more screen time. That boy literally had maybe like two scenes.
He was sitting at the table.
And like, then they're like, when he bowed and introduced him, like they introduced him. And I was like, that's it. Like, that's it.
Yeah, for there being an election, we do not talk about these candidates at all.
No.
Okay, I got you. You're Mads Mikkelsen. Like, you're taking over the universe, you know, in your crazy, seductive, political way. Okay. There was a thing.
So here's the thing I wanted to talk about, because this also, like, bothered me. So, like, Grindelwald gets in the election. All right, fine. Like... people are real cool for a second where he won. It's like, let's kill all the muggles. Like, everyone was just like, yeah.
Quick to change.
You're all a bunch of magical sheep. I was like, I don't understand how, like, you're just like, yeah, I guess we'll, like, genocide people or whatever. Sure. And then the second Santos wins, like, oh, yeah. No, she makes more sense.
We're good, yeah.
That deer... was dead and fake.
My favorite part was the dude who was running the whole thing. He picked up and goes, this is the true
I like that so much.
I audibly just went, bro, you can't go any further. They see you. And literally I'm just sitting there going, no.
The true chillin'.
I was always worried while he was talking. I was like, oh, if they kind of drag this out for another 10 minutes. And I was so happy. Well, like, I know it sounds bad. I was so happy when it died in his arms because it was fake.
Oh, that just hurt my heart, though. Like,
it's just like, I'm done, dude. You can't push this any further. I'm out. I'm out. Let me go.
You're like, okay, bye. Like the chillin'. I'm just gonna
peace.
Just gonna lay my head down. Like, yeah, I think that was another big issue. I totally agree. It's an election, but it's not an election. We don't know anything about these candidates. And then suddenly it's like, everything's okay. And I think it was Ezra Miller who said he doesn't want to lead, he just wants you to follow. And I was like, oh. And then he just kind of proved the point when they switched over to Santos and everyone was just following, and they're like, yeah, she's in charge, go you. Like, that, I think across the board the story probably has issues like everywhere, but yeah. Do we have any highlights besides hashtag team Queenie and Jacob?
Mr. Spencer, do you want to go first? Or
no, you go first.
You're deep in thought. I
was like, I was about to say something, but like, okay, that's an issue, not a highlight.
I mean, do you want to do your issue real quick?
No.
Positivity. We're trying.
We're trying for positivity. Okay. So bring in some positivity. I'll try to find some.
I believe in you. Thank you so much. I am a pan. whole scene when we first met Professor Hicks, mm-hmm. and Jacob's like he's amazing character, and I am like, when watching, I was like, oh, I might do a cosplay of him because lovely, but me and him just holding up the pan and goes, I am a pan, and explaining it thoroughly and it making sense. I'm like, oh, that was my highlight. And then just him being like utterly respectful and infatuated with Queenie and being like, I still love you. Yes. My hopeless romantic heart could not take that. And I was just sat there every time because the optimistic in me going, yay, it's going to turn out good. And then pessimist in me was like, when the wedding scene was happening, or when they were in the alley, and he's like, he goes, Dumbledore told me that I have the thing that most men don't have, which is a whole heart.
A full heart.
A full heart. He goes, but if I had a full heart, where would I put you? He goes, there's room for you. It made me so swoon, but then the pessimist in me was going, oh no, someone's going to come up and nearly would abracadabra him.
When he got crucioed,
oh my God.
I was like, unacceptable.
I'm like, J.K. Rowling,
I
want
to speak to the manager.
refund now. I did not come here to watch him die.
Yeah, well, nobody did. Oh my gosh.
Oh, I was upset again. Oh my gosh, this movie. I'm finally not under issues.
All issues. Like,
I was fully pessimist in me was going, okay, at the end they're having the way. I'm like, okay, it's gonna be good. The little voice inside me is like, just imagine if Grindelwald just walked in and went, Avacadabra! Like,
no. Ugh. No.
That would push so much conflict, but also, I didn't want that to happen.
No.
Not to Jacob or Queenie.
Not to like,
protect
they
them.
They need to get out of this alive.
Yes! Okay.
Okay, so, I couldn't find anything positive. So, issue! Oh, I do not understand why Queenie is still there in this movie.
She made it.
Like, she looks like she is just scared for her life.
All the time.
But, like, the thing is, her sister works for a government agency. Just go find her.
That's all you need to do. Just go be like, Tina, I need to come home. I got some problems. Like, she never did. She's just like, I'm staying here. And he asked me questions. And I don't know what I'm doing. She does look... She is more wide-eyed than the chillin. That entire movie. Highlights for me, if I can find some, because I am the optimist. Professor Hicks, Lally. Yeah, she is
fantastic.
A delight.
Love her.
Her book of many surprises. her charms. Her defense charms. Like, she's just throwing things. She doing the thing. The girl was on fire. Also... Whatever they kept putting into her braid in the back, where she would have all the different designs with her hair pieces, really beautiful. Jacob freaking Kowalski all day. The giggle juice on the train, him catching Teddy the Niffler, putting him in the pan, and then Teddy building like a nest with forks and spoons and everything and looking ridiculous. His first wand. His interaction with the students at Hogwarts when he got his wand.
Freaking the Slytherins at Hogwarts when they're...
So he's sitting eating breakfast with the Ravenclaws, and they're like, is it really Snakewood? Because they say it's like super rare. And he's like, yeah. They're like, can I touch it? And they're like, no, you can't do that. And he's like chewing. He's just having the best time. They're like, what'd you get? He's like, got it for Christmas. He's like, put it in his shirt. And I was like, you blessed man. And like that, anytime, and Jacob and the Chillin, when he actually is the reason we get the backstory about the Chillin and the representation and what it means, that was so seamlessly done. And then the Chillin's like, can I have your snacks? I want your snacks. And he's just like, you adorable, adorable man. Like, he was the highlights. Like,
I agree with that.
I can't really.
He's the bright spot.
He is the bright spot. And as much as I love Eddie Redmayne, and I love Eddie Redmayne, he was not as bright a spot as I had hoped.
He's kind of not in this movie, it feels like. Like, honestly, like, Jacob Beard, like, I mean, not Jacob, but like, Newt feels like he's just walking by in this movie. He's like, oh, I'll see you in the next one.
He's like, okay, I've got to go do this and I'll be back. Bye. Like, that's. There's not enough meat for him, and I truly feel it becomes the Dumbledore train, Like, did you just...
No, I went... Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was just like, toot, toot. I was like, no, we do not get on that train.
Sad train.
Sad train to Dumbledore, sad town. all right. So, do you know what? We can actually not wrapping this thing up, but roundtable question. Since we lost Johnny Depp to the great transition of movie 2 to movie 3, which now I really still do want to see that scene. If they were to suddenly decide they don't want to have Mads anymore as Grindelwald, who do you think, or who would you like to see cast in that role?
I'd like to say no. Like, you've made your choice.
You're like, hard stop. The fourth movie is about the marriage of Tina and Newt and baby Kowalskis everywhere.
Like, if you want to change them again, just drop the storyline. Go into, like, something else.
I'm okay with that.
Which would be so wild as a franchise. It wouldn't make any sense.
Dropping stories left and right.
Yeah. All right, so I guess Dumbledore's going to handle that Grindelwald situation. Anyway, I got to go, like, get this beast back to, like, Australia.
We haven't done anything in Australia.
Yeah.
It would be a good leeway and doorway to go visit the other ministries and see other creatures in other countries. So that's kind of...
That's what they should be doing.
Yeah, that's the point. Like, Fantastic Beasts, like, we're not going to just stick to the area that we already know, the UK. Yeah. Uh-huh. And we only got to see, like, a couple of bits of America.
And so, France. And we France. Saw France, mm-hmm. Germany, UK, and then America, which we, again, we didn't really see. But there was the giant, in the second one, the giant... tiger cat with the foofy tail that was like from China. There was a kappa, which is a Japanese water demon, yeah, that he was supposed to be going to Japan. I was like, so many options, not enough beasts. But who are you recasting Sarah as Grindelwald?
Okay, so I love Mads' performance as Grindelwald. It had a lot of he put his heart into it, and it he made me, like, all good antagonists, you can sympathize with them a little bit, but not, like, completely being like, yeah, he's a good dude, but had that scary feel of, yes, he is a threat, but also his, how he Lucius Malfoy, how his actor carried himself, and how Alan Rickman as Snape carried himself. Not saying Alan Rickman was a antagonist.
He was in a way, but it's okay. Yeah. It's Alan Rickman. He's delight, and R.I.P. Alan Rickman.
But how those actors in the roles carried themselves, like even Ralph Fiennes, how they carried themselves and walked through and had a presence I adored. I would like to bring up that I was trying to get ideas. I searched up, Google failed me, and I went amazing British villain actors. Or actor who played villains. And one of the choices that came up, and I am slightly bewildered, but also going, no offense, UK. Boris Johnson, Prime Minister.
He'd be an interesting Grindelwald. Yeah,
I'm like, or the interesting choice, but...
That would be an insane choice. Boris
I know Johnson. Some people who would be like, yes!
How can we comb over that man's hair anymore?
You know what? I'd watch that movie. Because this sounds crazy.
So many UK people and just people going, ooh, Boris Johnson?
So many people would be like, boycott. Yeah.
That's our prime minister. That's my boy.
That's
Boris. So sorry to throw that in. But
I don't think you're sorry at all, but that's okay. I like it. But anybody else besides Prime Minister Johnson?
I would go the route of David, the ineffable husband, either David. Well, no, we already had David Tennant. Dang it. There's a lot of, like, they already had a lot of good.
David,
like,
Tennant would be very good.
He did a good job as Crouch. He did a good job as Crouch.
Junior.
I would just pretend that
Barty Crouch. Junior.
But Michael Sheen or...
Michael Sheen would be another good choice. I mean, that one would be super scary.
I haven't seen a lot of Michael Sheen. Like, I'm not willing. I want to see more of his acting performance because he has a very distinct voice. Mm. And not to go, I would like to see a lot of British people or people from the UK scary, but it's amazing. And yeah, I want to go with Michael Sheen because if not, I would just be kind of having more people from the original movies. For Harry Potter, be like, Gary Oldman, come in.
No,
like,
not Gary
Oldman.
I don't
want my heart to be hurt.
No, my heart's hurting. Don't you dare. Don't
but
you
like,
dare.
So good. But yeah.
Yeah. I think David Tennant would have been a great Grindelwald.
I love my boy.
Johnny Depp coming back would be a little scary because the direction he was taking it was more brute force than the seduction that is Mads Mikkelsen, especially when it comes to Grindelwald and actually fortifying that relationship with Albus. It felt more natural, like it had mm-hmm. been there with yeah. Jude Law and Mads in this. With Johnny and Jude, I don't know if we would have ever gotten it. Like,
yeah, that's the thing I'm insanely curious about. What on earth would this movie have been if Johnny Depp was still here?
Like, that's...
And that's why...
The I'm world really cool. may never know.
Like, someone leaked
Someone's
that
got that one scene.
One scene.
And if he's interacting with Jude Law, oh my gosh. Oh my,
that would be... That's the thing.
We would have it. I like the David Tennant. I would also...
We need someone who's charismatic, because that's what they brought up in the second movie, is that they had to cut off Grindelwald's tongue because he's super charismatic and telling people.
And Mads does such a good job.
Yeah.
I would even go so far as to throw maybe one of the Skarsgårds. Not Bill.
Oh no, I'm not going Bill. Bill, I have so many things.
One of the brothers would be great in that. We'd have to find somebody that has an accent, but it's really hard to top Mads right now because Mads did such a great job just stepping kind of into the role seamlessly. Mm-hmm. Even though, again, this is not supposed to be the Dumbledore story show. Like, my soapbox, I will stand on it and go, I need critters, I need creatures. Like, shoot.
History of critters and war, like, origins and kind of their purpose and like meaning and symbolism within those countries.
It could have been a movie about Newt making his book and
yeah.
then the
it was
adventures
supposed to be and yeah. then that was like the first one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was the book and then everybody else is like, no, I've read your book, it's so great. And I'm like,
when was it finished?
And I was like, why don't I know any more about this book? Like, can we know any more about this book? So I think we should vote on this thing because I forgot we're supposed to do monocles and not manacles in this movie.
Yes. Manacles? Like
yes,
the
chains? We are chained to this
oh
movie.
My gosh. Mm.
So of course, since we are just the deep sigh of the table is just permeating everyone. Let's start with you, Sarah. Does the movie pass or fail? And how many monocles?
It barely passes for me. I would if barely passes for me. Just there's so many. I would fail it if it weren't for the not to go the time that it took for them to redo it, but the introduction of Professor Hicks and kind of carrying the storyline being all over the place. I honestly have to give it a 7. 7 out of...
It's about a 5.
Oh, 5, dang. Sorry, I'm going so high.
Oh, okay. Spencer and I are like, wait, so it passed. Sorry. It barely passed, but it got 7 monocles.
It's unprecedented.
That is super, even for me, and I'm ridiculous when it comes to monocles.
I would have to go either 2.5.
2.5 stars. All right.
Storyline be confusing.
Storyline be confusing. Spencer?
Okay. I'm going to fail the movie.
Okay.
Because, like, I'm sorry. Like, any movie where I'm an hour into it and I'm like, I don't know what's happening. Like, and I'm paying attention and did not fall asleep. Like,
and you weren't on a device?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, like, I feel like I shouldn't have like an understanding, or if not an understanding, be like, okay, this will make sense in a, like a sec. But like when I'm walking out and I'm still confused about like various things that are happening in the franchise, like that's not a good look. And just confusion about like what characters are doing that I know I've been paying attention to. Queenie, I'm looking at you. Like the last two movies of her have made no sense to me whatsoever. It's just, it's hard to really get into it because I wanted to like this movie because I was like, okay, course correction. But now we're here and I don't know where we're going. We're going to some sort of war, but like it seems also like far off. Like we're on movie three, there's two left, so I don't know what we're doing here. Yeah. So this movie gets two. One is Jacob, and one is Queenie for marrying Jacob. I still like them both.
I think that is the best way to go about this. So for me, as even the optimist, this movie straight up fails for me, homies. Between the super confusing and discombobulated storyline, as well as the title saying Fantastic Beasts, and there is not enough beasts to be found in this, I did not enjoy this as much as I would have hoped for. Does it have a beginning, middle, and end? Eh, you could be the judge if you so choose.
Make an argument that it doesn't.
You could make an argument that it is perplexing, confusing, and all things nuts. And I can't stop you on that. But so for me, because this sucker did fail, I am going to give it a... it's going to be a two. Well, a same thing. Yeah. One for Jacob. Mm-hmm. One for Queenie, and maybe for, you know, maybe a baby Kowalski sometime in the future.
Like, the only positive thing for the next one is that, like, Queenie is out. And, like, we don't have to worry about her being, sucked back in or whatever.
I would be so upset if, like...
I will boycott a franchise.
I will stand outside, like, Warner Brothers and be like, I swear, if you, like, try to, like... Divorce arc? No.
We
just got
no.
A divorce arc.
Hashtag justice for Kowalskis at that point.
Kowalskis move out of Manhattan. I think that might be the next one. Fantastic Beasts, Kowalskis move out of Manhattan. It's like Baby's Day Out, but better. So that about wraps it up for this episode of the Film Philosophers. Remember, you can tune into us anywhere podcasts are actually found. Tune in, Pandora, Libsyn,
Audio Boom.
Spotify, Pandora. you can find it on all the things. I know I'm going to end up butchering things, but it's great. Yeah, this was a fantastic conversation, and hopefully my checklist comes back well enough that I don't get in lots of trouble.
You're doing great.
I'm glad to be an intern. So yeah, please, if you enjoyed today's conversation or any of the other 300 plus wink wink episodes that we do have in our library, drop us a 5-star review. You can find us on, oh my gosh, I was going to say, we're on Twitter and Instagram at FilmWassaby101. What's on Facebook?
Facebook is facebook.com/FilmWassaphers.
Yeah!
I'm sorry. I'm like trying to memorize it.
Teamwork makes the dream work, baby.
Social page.
facebook.com/FilmWassaphers.
And on Twitter and Instagram at FilmWassaby101. Wow. He's going to be so mad at me. I really hope he doesn't listen to this, but... Philosopher Eddie, you know, totally actually does, because he produces. But yeah, thank you for joining me. Thank you for letting me drive, Spencer.
Of course.
Junior Philosopher Sarah, it's always good to see you at the other end of the table. But yeah, that about wraps it us. Wraps it us. Rhapsody. That about wraps it us for... Wraps it up for all of us here at the Philosophers. So, for all of us, not including... I'm butchering this. I'm intern Amy.
I'm Spence.
I'm Sarah.
Class dismissed.